Welcome to the Sober Rebel Bite Size series for January. This episode is no more than 20 minutes, and there will be one a day throughout the month of January. I've been doing this podcast now for nearly 2 years, and in that time I've spoken to so many amazing guests. So I thought it would be a lovely idea this month to revisit some of the highlights of those conversations every day throughout January to keep you focused on why you're doing this. Today's episode is with Michael, and Michael is hilarious, and I followed him right from the start of my sobriety. But since recording the episode with him, I've actually met him a couple of times. We both took up running, and he was my running buddy in the 10K in London. One of the things that Michael really focused on was sober socialising. He set up a Sober Socials website where now you can find lots of events. But also he's done things like improvise stand-up comedy. He's always determined to constantly push himself out of his comfort zone, including jumping in the North Sea. But I'll let him tell you about that in this clip.
Second point of sobriety is the friendships I've made. I've struggled quite a lot in the past with making friends. I actually remember, it's still probably in my loft somewhere, I got a really atrocious report in my last year of primary school. And there was one section, she'd had to add extra pages just to continue her rant about how awful I was, my teacher in my last year of primary school. And one of the sections says, and it stood out for me because my dad read it to me, and said, "Michael struggles to make and keep friends." And that's something I carried through, I think, to adult life. I always struggled, and it became harder when I was an outrageous drunk, because you're quite boring and nobody wants to be looking after you on a night out, and nobody wants to associate with you because it's just hard to be friends with someone who can barely walk, who drinks themselves to that. And so I had got a really reduced social circle. The people who did associate with me used to drink almost as badly as I did. And that's why we hang around. We didn't actually have much in common, but we would forgive each other's bad behavior because we were doing the same. And I'd lost my relationship through drink. And I then started trying to date, and I said I needed someone who was very forgiving because I will always do things that I need to be forgiven for. I thought that was funny.
That's quite a profile. Swipe left.
I wasn't getting many bites. Strangely, but I thought it's only fair to warn them what they're up against. And I thought that I would just continue being fairly friendless when I sobered up. I was thinking, well, how am I going to meet people? Because the only way I'd ever met new people was by drinking in the pub. And then after you've had a few drinks, you can get talking to a stranger, and then you might keep in touch so you can go drinking together again. And so I didn't really know how to meet people in another way, especially as I was sort of in my late 30s, early 40s. I'm like, how do you do this? Is it just night classes? And first of all, I mean, I did spend most of my time alone, and it was dull. But then lockdowns got lifted up, and then I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to try harder to meet people. And I missed going out on Friday and Saturday. I'd work all week and I'd get excited about the weekends, like, yeah, it's nearly Friday. It took a good while for that sort of to shift. And then Friday I'd arrive and think, well, what am I going to do now? Watch another Netflix drama on my own? And I got rather bored of that. And so I thought, well, what else is there to do? Well, I looked around town and it's like, well, all the cafes are closed by 5:30. There's the cinema. It's like, well, it's not really socializing, is it? Sitting next to someone in silence, eating popcorn.
That's marriage.
That's a good marriage. So I thought, let's see if anybody else is up for socializing sober. And I got involved in a local Facebook group, and I posted there about how I'd struggled with alcohol. I didn't want it to be part of a night out anymore, but I still wanted to go out and socialize. Does anyone feel the same? And to my surprise, lots of people responded. I don't know what to do with this all now, so I had to start my own Facebook group, a local sort of one for Southend for people not drinking, and got about 650 members. So it's like, well, I wasn't expecting that. I found a pop-up shop and put on an event with some music and some comedy, which I eventually got involved with. I ended up going to the comedy and doing improv comedy and stand-up myself. And then from then on, I did events every weekend for a while because I wasn't working. That's suspended. I think I did 15 events in total. It just felt important because there are lots of people there who are in the same situation as me, and they craved the socializing. They were also still struggling, some of them, with not drinking, and there wasn't an environment locally where they could actually just socialize with people and not drink. I couldn't keep up with it in the end because it was taking up my whole weekend. I got loads of stock. I had people donating like fridges and things because I had to just start from scratch. I had to start from nothing. And here's me with ADHD, having never even organized a birthday party before. I couldn't sustain it when I was back in full-time work. But what did happen as a result is there's a local organization that now does a monthly sober social event in a beautiful cafe that provides everything, and I can just go as an attendee, and that's wonderful. So in a way, I feel like it got things moving, and now there's a bit of a legacy. It's all done by somebody else, which is wonderful because I'm exhausted. I feel like I got things moving, and it was something worthwhile. But when I finally pass away, and my life flashes before my eyes, I know that one of those scenes that I see is going to be when I was cleaning mugs and glasses in this horrible little kitchen of the pop-up shop, and I could hear the music and I could hear people clapping, and people had turned up and they were enjoying it, and I had done that all, and it felt worthwhile. I had a little cry in the sink because I'd actually achieved something that I thought was worthwhile, and that will definitely be one of the images that flashes before my eyes.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's so lovely.
It was something small that felt big. And
Yeah.
that's what got me into then trying to find other sober events and turning up to as many as I could to be a bit of a sober socialite. I thought, well, I've still got the domain name, I've still got the website, and I can see loads of other people organizing events across the country now. So I'll use my domain name of sobersocials.co.uk and I'll list events because you really have to find them. Otherwise, it's like, well, people might organize them separately, and there was no central place to go and find alcohol-free events in their area. So I thought, I'm just going to repurpose my website, and I'm going to use it to blog and to promote other people's alcohol-free events. So if someone's trying to have a social life sober, they know that they can go onto a website and find something hopefully within their region. For me, it was really important in the first year of sobriety. I wanted to prove that I was just as much fun sober as I was with a drink in my hand. I just still had this pattern of having to go out on a Friday and or Saturday night. And it's like, I have to do this because that's what you do when it's the weekend. And I did it for a good while. And in the end, I just realized I'm not having a good time. I'm babysitting people. I'm being used as a free taxi. I'm finding people annoying after their third drink. And then I'm the last one to bed because I've had to make sure everyone else has got home and to bed safe. And it's just, I'm not having fun, so I'm not going to do it anymore. I proved to myself that I can do it. I can survive like a big night out sober, and I survived a few of them. I just wasn't enjoying them, so I stopped doing them. And now I can get as excited. I love going for breakfast. Oh, breakfast. I love breakfast meetups. No one's drinking at breakfast. Well, unless you go to a really dodgy Wetherspoons. Most people are happy just to have the coffees and stuff in the morning. And who doesn't enjoy breakfast?
No,
And you get to see
exactly.
people who are hungover, and you think, oh, thank God that's not me. They're trying to force down some lovely food, which they can't even enjoy because they're too minging. And here I am with my eggs Benedict or Florentine. I can look forward to a breakfast, and I can get up, meet people, be my best self, have fun. And I still get to be really silly and really crude, and those were things I wasn't expecting. I've got a few sober people in Southend that I've met up with, and I can have a bit of a dirty sense of humour and be very puerile. And luckily, so can other people, completely sober. And we went to a lovely cafe, we were talking, the conversation became a little bit obscene, and we emptied the cafe completely sober. We disgusted the other people and they left. And it's like, oh, this is brilliant. This is like when you all go out and start chatting about something horrific when you're drinking and all sort of having a cigarette outside. Well, we can still empty a cafe sober. And it was raining, but we walked back to the cars and we continued the conversation in the rain until we were drenched. And that was all without one drop of alcohol. And that felt so liberating. Because you got the stories. And I thought, oh, I'm going to miss the stories. If I go out and drink, there's always a story at the end of it. It might be a horrific story, which you sort of try and laugh off, that ends in like the police cells or the psych unit or ha 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 ha. But really, they're horrible stories. And I can still get into scrapes. I still have stories. So I went to a charity shop and I found that there were some leather trousers there. And I thought, well, I can't not try them on. So I tried them on. They were a bit tight and I couldn't get them off. And I had these old dears from the charity shop. They're having to come into the changing room and they're both tugging, trying to get these lederhosen off of me. And it was absolutely humiliating. And there's another gaggle of grannies in there, all just sniggering because I'm stuck in a pair of leather trousers. So the stories, they continue. You can still make an utter fool of yourself. And I recommend it, actually. Just deliberately make a fool of yourself sober. That was one of the reasons I got into comedy, is it was a challenge to myself. When I first went out sober and other people were drinking heavily, I felt really anxious. And it's not something it's not an experience I had had since I was like a teenager and first started going out. And I realized it's because normally when I go out, the first thing I do is get a drink and all the anxiety is gone. And now I'm feeling really anxious. And I've got a choice here. I can either hide myself away for the rest of my life, or I can face up to it and try and do something about the anxiety. And so I thought, well, what would absolutely terrify me? And due to my wonderful ADHD, I found myself accidentally going to an improvised comedy gig. I turned up in a suit because I thought I was going to a networking do. So I turned up all professional and I looked around and was like, well, nobody here seems to be networking. I put it a week early in my diary. And on the night that I turned up, they had an improvised comedy showcase. So I thought, well, I'm here now. I might as well sit down and watch it. And so I watched the comedy and then they had a bit of recruitment for their next course. And I thought, well, that does sound absolutely terrifying. I should probably do it. I thought, I don't care if I'm funny or not. I just want to do this to terrify myself. Because if I survive, even if I've been really unfunny, not made anyone laugh, then I'll be less worried about making an idiot of myself in future. I'll be better in these social situations. So that's what I did. And what I noticed was when it came to the showcase, there's another couple of guys for whom it was also their first time. And they were downing pints. They were like shaking and downing pints before they went on stage. I was thinking, yep, that's definitely what I would normally be doing. And I've suffered really badly from nerves. And in the past, when I've had to do public speaking, you'd see me shaking and the paper that I'm holding shaking. This time, nothing. I was like, where are my nerves? And I think it's because my mindset had changed. They were worried about being funny or sort of dying on stage. I was there just to survive it. I didn't care if I was funny or not. I wanted to show to myself that I could do this. And I thought rationally about it. I thought, well, how many times have you made an idiot of yourself, like a real idiot of yourself, drunk? Loads of times. Have you let it bother your self-esteem? Not much. So what is so terrifying about not being as funny as you'd like in front of other people sober? So it doesn't matter about being funny. And I sort of relaxed into it. And because I was relaxed and not stressed, I actually got some laughs along the way as well. I was a bit disappointed because I was hoping to die on stage and then have that full experience of, the crushing defeat, which I then experienced growth from. But it wasn't as bad as I'd expected.
So, what is your third benefit of sobriety?
My third benefit of sobriety, I would say, is positive outlook. I have a positive outlook these days, and I can't say I ever have done before. I'm so sober that I have a vision board.
Wow.
Because you can't be sober without a vision board, can you? It's
Absolutely
one of the
not.
tropes. But
Sobriety comes with that checklist, doesn't it? You've got to have a vision board. You've got to do 5K every morning.
You've
You've
got
got
to
to.
the wild swimming. I've done the wild swimming, yeah,
Have
in
you?
February. Oh God, yeah. Well, I live by the sea, and it felt criminal not to give it a go. I'm not so much into the cold water, I have to admit. I gave it a good shot. I've been out in February. It was horrific, absolutely horrific. That was with a guy called Sam Phillips, who's on Instagram as Dare to Dip, and he went in the sea every day for a year in his hometown of Felixstowe. And I'd lived in Southend for 7 years and never been in the sea once. When I moved here, I said, oh, I'm going to be swimming in the sea every week. Didn't, not once. And then I agreed. It was on my birthday, which was also his 1 year, his final dip to make his 1 year, that I would join him in Felixstowe. It was freezing, absolutely freezing, to the extent that when I got out, I had stopped to a cafe. I didn't realize this could happen, but one of my testicles had gone so far inside me, it got like stuck in the side of my leg. I didn't know that could happen. So that was a sober first.
Oh my
I thought that's
goodness.
inappropriate for a podcast.
Right, this
But
episode's
then
now explicit.
Yeah, but then during the summer, you don't get the same benefits apparently, but I just love cooling off in the sea on a hot summer's day. There's always the initial shock, but then after you get in, it is great.
I will
Just
do
got to
it at
watch.
some point. I'm going to have to do it. I don't feel I'm part of the sober crew, really.
You've got to do it. I've got my own little sober group, online sober group, and I devised sober bingo for them, and it includes things like sober karaoke, wild swimming, all the things that you see that everyone's trying to do. It's like see if you can get a line, then see if you can get a full house. But
Yeah.
yes, I've got a more positive outlook now. I keep myself busy most of the time, and there are things I look forward to. And as much as I might take the mickey out the whole vision board thing, it was a useful exercise. I did it with my partner. I said, I want to do a joint vision board because we had some time apart. We felt like we were going in separate directions. I was like, well, I'm trying to improve my life in one way, and I've got one idea of what I want for my future. I don't really know what you want for your future, and what if it's something completely different?
And
So
what happened?
we did an exercise where we asked lots of questions independently. I printed out all these questions that we answered ourselves, and we compared them, and then sort of said, he loves craft. I'm not very artistic. He is. So we then sort of sketched out jointly what sort of the future could be like. And so there are things on there which were more related to me, and things like there's definitely going to be a donkey on mine. I've got a donkey on my vision board. I've always wanted to be the proud owner of a donkey, and we're going to be best mates, and we're going to go out to picnics together. He's going to have some carrots. He's going to carry my picnic. And there are things on there. He loves his horror films and Halloween. Oh, he loves Halloween. It's the best time of year. So we've got sort of the pumpkins and things on there. But yes, we broadly want the same thing, and we've got an idea of what we want to achieve jointly together, which is very reassuring, because if we did want completely different things, then what are we doing together? Because neither of us are going to get what we want, are we?
If you'd like to listen to the whole episode, then head back on your podcast timeline to the 26th of December 23. And just to remind you, if you head to my website, louisaevans.com, you will find the Sober Resilience course, where you can use code RESILIENCE544 to get a massive 30% off. It's not just focused on sobriety. These are tools that you can use for any area of your life. You'll also find a range of hypnosis recordings on so many subjects, from confidence boosting through to enjoying exercise or finding weight loss easy, alongside ones to support your sobriety. If you use the code SOBERREBEL, all one word, you'll be able to buy one, get one free on all of those recordings. And again, I'll remind you, it's an amazing way to reprogram some of those deep-rooted beliefs around alcohol and to enjoy the process or around anything else that you're working on. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of my guests over this last couple of years for their openness and honesty. And the podcast will be back in its regular fortnightly slot very shortly. Have a great day.